Chapter 11 The Duelling Club. Harry woke up on Sunday morning to find the dormitory blazing with winter sunlight, and his arm re-boned but very stiff. He sat up quickly and looked over at Colin's bed, but it had been blocked from view by the high curtains Harry had changed behind yesterday. Seeing that he was awake, Madame Pumphrey came bustling over with a breakfast tray, and then began bending and stretching his arms and fingers. "All in order," she said, as he clumsily fed himself porridge left-handed. "When you've finished eating, you may leave." Harry dressed as quickly as he could, and hurried off to Gryffindor Tower, desperate to tell Ron and Hermione about Colin and Dobby. But they weren't there. Harry left to look for them, wondering where they could have got to, and feeling slightly hurt that they weren't interested in whether he had his bones back or not. As Harry passed the library, Percy Weasley strolled out of it, looking in far better spirits than last time they'd met.
"Oh, hello, Harry," he said. "Excellent flying yesterday, really excellent. Gryffindor have just taken the lead for the House Cup. You earned 50 points."
"You haven't seen Ron or Hermione, have you?" said Harry.
"No, I haven't," said Percy, his smile fading. "I hope Ron's not in another girl's toilet."
Harry forced a laugh, watched Percy out of sight, and then headed straight for Moaning Myrtle's bathroom. He couldn't see why Ron and Hermione would be in there again, but after making sure that neither Filch nor any prefects were around, he opened the door and heard their voices coming from a locked cubicle.
"It's me!" he said, closing the door behind him.
There was a clunk, a splash, and a gasp from within the cubicle, and he saw Hermione's eye peering through the keyhole.
"Harry!" she said. "You gave us such a fright! Come in. How's your arm?"
"Fine," said Harry, squeezing into the cubicle. An old cauldron was perched on the toilet, and a crackling from under the rim told Harry they had lit a fire beneath it. Conjuring up portable waterproof fires was a speciality of Hermione's.
"We'd have come to meet you, but we decided to get started on the polyjuice potion," Ron explained, as Harry, with difficulty, locked the cubicle again. "We've decided this is the safest place to hide it."
Harry started to tell them about Colin, but Hermione interrupted.
"We already know. We heard Professor McGonagall telling Professor Flitwick this morning. That's why we decided we'd better get going."
"The sooner we get a confession out of Malfoy, the better," snarled Ron. "Do you know what I think? He was in such a foul temper after the Quidditch match, he took it out on Colin."
"There's something else," said Harry, watching Hermione tearing bundles of knotgrass and throwing them into the potion. "Dobby came to visit me in the middle of the night." Ron and Hermione looked up amazed. Harry told them everything Dobby had told him, or hadn't told him. Ron and Hermione listened with their mouths open.
"The Chamber of Secrets has been opened before," said Hermione.
"This settles it," said Ron, in a triumphant voice. "Lucius Malfoy must have opened the chamber when he was at school here, and now he's told dear old Draco how to do it. It's obvious. Wish Dobby had told you what kind of monster's in there, though. I want to know how come nobody's noticed it sneaking round the school."
"Maybe it can make itself invisible,"
said Hermione, prodding leeches to the bottom of the cauldron.
"Or maybe it can disguise itself, pretend to be a suit of armour or something. I've read about chameleon ghouls."
"You read too much, Hermione," said Ron, pouring dead lacewings on top of the leeches. He crumpled up the empty lacewing bag and looked round at Harry. "So Dobby stopped us getting on the train and broke your arm." He shook his head. "You know what, Harry? If he doesn't stop trying to save your life, he's going to kill you."
The news that Colin Creevy had been attacked and was now lying as though dead in the hospital wing had spread through the entire school by Monday morning. The air was suddenly thick with rumour and suspicion. The first years were now moving around the castle in tight-knit groups, as though scared they would be attacked if they ventured forth alone. Ginny Weasley, who sat next to Colin Creevy in charms, was distraught. But Harry felt that Fred and George were going the wrong way about cheering her up. They were taking it in turns to cover themselves with fur or boils and jump out at her from behind statues. They only stopped when Percy, apoplectic with rage, told them he was going to write to Mrs. Weasley and tell her Ginny was having nightmares. Meanwhile,
hidden from the teachers, a roaring trade in talismans, amulets, and other protective devices was sweeping the school. Neville Longbottom bought a large, evil-smelling green onion, a pointed purple crystal, and a rotting newt tail, before the other Gryffindor boys pointed out that he was in no danger. He was a pure blood, and therefore unlikely to be attacked.
"They went for Filch first," Neville said, his round face fearful, "and everyone knows I'm almost a squib."
In the second week of December, Professor McGonagall came around as usual, collecting names of those who would be staying at school for Christmas. Harry, Ron, and Hermione signed her list. They had heard that Malfoy was staying, which struck them as very suspicious. The holidays would be the perfect time to use the Polyjuice potion and try to worm a confession out of him. Unfortunately, the potion was only half finished. They still needed the bicorn horn and the boomslang skin, and the only place they were going to get them was from Snape's private stores. Harry privately felt he had rather face Slytherin's legendary monster than have Snape catch him robbing his office.
"What we need," said Hermione briskly, as Thursday afternoon's double potions lesson loomed nearer, "is a diversion. Then one of us can sneak into Snape's office and take what we need."
Harry and Ron looked at her nervously.
"I think I'd better do the actual stealing," Hermione continued in a matter-of-fact tone. "You two will be expelled if you get in any more trouble, and I've got a clean record. So all you need to do is cause enough mayhem to keep Snape busy for 5 minutes or so."
Harry smiled feebly. Deliberately causing mayhem in Snape's potions class was about as safe as poking a sleeping dragon in the eye.